to Where Brains Meet Beauty, hosted by Jody Katz, founder and creative director of Base Beauty Creative Agency.
Hi, Eleni.
Hi, Jody. How are you?
I'm very excited to come to this banter recording with hair that's like a little freshly washed, because I feel like week after week when we do this, I show up with, like, you know, just straight from the gym hair. And then I get to see that hair on LinkedIn all over my feed. So I'm like, oh, this is actually second day hair, but he didn't work out this morning. And so it actually looks pretty decent. So
it absolutely does.
I'm really excited about that for myself, but I am going for other reasons too, which was our amazing Beast Beauty quarterly all staff workshop the other day.
Oh my gosh. It was so much fun. It was definitely my favorite day of the quarter so far, which is exciting. Literally every single person on our team, from our C-suite staff to coordinators, participated. And I thought it was so cool how prepared everybody was. We tried to come up with an agenda where people had talking opportunities and presentations, and people came with decks and really thoughtful questions, smart ideas. And I was thinking back, as like the youngest people at the company were talking, you have always had this philosophy that everybody in my like 10 years almost at this agency, everybody can have a good idea. It doesn't matter your role or your age. And that philosophy, I really feel like, came to life at this workshop, seeing everybody be such a champion in front of the room of their peers and their managers. It was just really cool to see.
Well, when I was early in my career at some large companies, some small ones, they all made it very clear who's allowed to have good ideas and who's not allowed to have good ideas. And I guess it's like one of those, if you know, you know, for anyone who's listening. And not only at our company can people at any stage have good ideas, they're expected to, right? Because we are all the consumer at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. We're all reacting to the marketing we're seeing. We all love certain brands and products. So the expectation is you come with great ideas, right? Then mm-hmm. everyone can layer on greatness, but everybody has to participate.
Yeah, we need every voice in the room to tell us about their experience. Everyone's in a different stage in their beauty, personal wellness care journey. So it's so interesting and unique to hear that. We were really focused on not just these amazing discussions, but skill building, discussion, and action. And we do a lot of thinking ahead for our clients. So a lot of really interesting topics came up.
Well, in your role as VP of Client Success, you are always looking out for our clients, the things that are important to them before they realize it's important to them, and how to like make their work with us as enriching for them as possible beyond the deliverables.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're thinking about like what is going through their minds day to day. How can we support them, be really collaborative partners? And Sarah, our COO, has a mission to turn all of us, even if you're not in any way involved in finance or operations, into businesswomen. So she presented a really relevant session on economic tariffs and how it could show up in our day to day at Base Beauty and for our clients. And I think just having an open floor for that topic was really interesting for our team.
We had a lot of discussion around AI and what is our stance and point of view, and like, I guess, doctrine, methodology around AI, which was really great. A lot of incredible discussion. And we've used it in incredible ways, but there are limits to what we're willing to do. And it was really nice for us to, I think, take a stand, you know, and discuss with the team at all levels what that means for us and our clients.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. But we had a whole session about blue sky thinking, which if you're a client at Base Beauty, you hear us use this term all the time. Recently, I had a client say to us, you know, we were looking at one type of an agency to do this work, and we looked at you, and we want to work with you because your team is creative, strategic, that's how you think. And that's the fun part of our job, I think, and getting to be in our one room, in our workshop, just daydreaming about ways that we can create content and campaigns and projects for our clients that really like make headlines and think out of the box ideas. It was really fun to be together for that.
Yeah, I loved hearing that presentation through the eyes of people who actually aren't on the leadership team. It's really exciting to hear that perspective and point of view. And, you know, we always say like our clients, of course, they hire us for our deliverables, but they're also hiring us to help them move into new realms and new thinking. So, you know, we're kind of at the center of it all. It's very fun.
Yeah, it was a great day. Let's shift gears and talk about the show. Who do we have on our episode today?
This is a great one. I can't believe that this was recorded in January because it feels so fresh and relevant to today. We're in April. Okay, so we have Sharon Del Valle, who I met in an elevator at the Women's Wear Daily Beauty CEO Summit last year. And she's a general manager of COSE America. She has, you know, years of experience in global business management for luxury consumer goods. Very interesting woman, really strategic thinker. And she was paired with Kara Kamenev. She is the lead for Stripes Beauty, which is Naomi Watts' brand, which is now an L. Catterton property. And she's had a very long career in beauty as well, a lot of it at L'Oreal. And so now she's in the women's health category that is exploding. So having these two women together was so rich with insights.
Yeah, that was an amazing episode to hear live. When you tune into the show, you will hear them. They speak about ambition and fear existing side by side. And the success doesn't mean that fear goes away. It means learning to move through it. So Sharon was describing the dissonance between having so much experience and still sometimes feeling unsure, which I think is probably a topic many can relate to.
I just want to go back to Kara. I met Kara through Debbie Perlman, and Debbie Perlman I met at the Women's Wear Daily CEO Summit. So, you know, if anyone's ever thinking like, is it worth my time to go to these events? It is, if you're willing to talk to people. And I'll be there again in May. May 7th and 8th is the next Women's Wear Daily CEO Summit. So I'll report back on who else I meet and bring to the show.
Yeah, make sure you take the elevator.
Okay, let me refocus back on Sharon and Kara. So they were talking about instinct, right? So I feel like I moved through my career really trusting my gut. Sometimes my instincts are actually telling me things that are really so 10 steps ahead that when I explain them to my team or clients, they don't understand what I'm talking about. But that's part of like that instinct. You have to listen to it and know what it's saying and also know how to package it up for people. Mm-hmm. So Kara described the balance of, you know, like listening to data, but also listening to her gut, especially in emotional category, like beauty and wellness, right? It's, of course, the numbers are really important to inform and create evidence, but intuition, empathy, understanding that consumer, what they really need, that's really the magic. And that, I mean, that's what we talk about at Base Beauty all the time, right? It's the blend of the data-driven insights and empathy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Super exciting. So I look forward to hearing everyone's responses to this episode. It's a good one. Sharon also sent us a promo code. It's WBMB20 for 20% off any of the COSE portfolio of products found at decortecosmetics.com, sakise-usa.com, and addictiontokyobeauty.com. We will link all of that so you don't have to type it out from my saying it. And Addiction Tokyo actually sent us samples for our gift bags for the last in-person listening party. And I have to say, it's my new favorite eyeshadow. The colors are really pigmented. And if you're a person or a sparkle person, I'm a sparkle person, they have you covered. So try a few shades with the promo code WBMB20 for 20% off. All right. Enjoy more from Sharon Devalia and Kara Kamenev on episode 282.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Jody.
Hi, Kara.
Hi.
Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty.
Thanks for having us.
I'm sitting with Sharon Devalia, General Manager, COSE America. And Kara Kamenev, President Stripes Beauty.
Very good.
Thank you. This was
a challenging last name situation.
I want to get it right. So this is our last recording of a 6-recording marathon. We started at 8:30 in the morning this morning and met incredibly talented, amazing people. And we are finishing on a very high note. I'm excited to spend the afternoon with you both. I want to start with how we've met each other. So you and I met in an elevator, yes. Sharon, at the Women's Wear Daily CEO Summit.
That's correct.
And the elevator stopped and we got off and kept chatting. Yeah. And isn't that just magical that in this industry you can just meet people in elevators?
Yes. And that, I think that's one of the things that I love most about the industry is how connected people can become and how open and fun it is. So I love it.
And Kara, we first met through Debbie. Our first interaction was on a Zoom. I think right after maybe you had a brand new baby in your life when you first started
one
this
of
job.
Many. Yeah. But I remember your name floating around at L'Oreal, too. I don't know if we ever met in person, but, like, I definitely have seen you in the halls of something.
Well, I've been doing this business for 18 years, yeah. So this is a long time, and I'm happy that we get to spend quality time together today. So we're going to have a conversation about career journey and leadership, and we're going to start at the beginning, which is when we start daydreaming, right, about our careers when we're much younger. So your 11-year-old self, Sharon, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a vet. because I loved animals. And so I just wanted to spend all my time with them. But it became a little limiting since I'm allergic to so many of them.
Are you allergic to dogs?
No, fortunately. But I'm allergic to cats. And I'm really disappointed about that because I love all animals. But
we had a hedgehog once. Do you know what a hedgehog is? Mm-hmm. It's actually a poop machine. I don't know if you're aware of that. But every time it moves its legs, when it's in motion, it is pooping.
Wow.
It is not the pet for this household. It was pretty gross. Mm. Yeah. Kara, what do you want to be when you grow up?
It's really funny. Note to self, do not let my kids get a hedgehog.
No. Yeah.
I was so surprised to be asked this question because I haven't thought about this in a long time. But when I was growing up, I was obsessed with reading. I loved reading. I was a voracious reader, like could not get enough. And now all I can do is watch a 30-second TikTok and I have to scroll immediately. But because of that, I wanted to be a librarian. I just like equated being around books. But yeah, that changed. But the content I consumed as a very young child definitely formed me.
Do you remember the librarians in elementary school?
No, I remember nothing. It was really just the obsession with being around books and stories, and I read a lot.
I now love to read. I mentioned on the episode previously that I didn't love it as a young person, but I exclusively get library books. I don't buy books anymore because I don't need the object, like hanging around, like with a lot of things. And I just love being that having that sense of community that like there's other people before me and after me that are going to pick up this book. It's a kind of cool sensation.
I think so too. I think it's really magic. I actually took my oldest daughter to the library recently, got her first library card. And I made the cardinal mistake, just like a hedgehog, do not make this mistake, of allowing her to check out 11 books.
Oh my gosh.
Because like she just could not pick and this was very exciting. Of course, we were like 3 months late on returns. I lost like several of them, had to pay a ton of money. It was a huge lesson. Hadn't been in a library in a long time and will not be going back anytime soon.
Isn't that such a great and exciting joy to watch though? Like she's so excited about like collecting it. The idea of books, and a library is like shopping with no consequence. Well, theoretically.
Yeah, but by the end, she's like, Mom, we are never doing that again. Like we lost all the books. I was like, I know. It's my fault.
So we're all about career journey here, and you both have very fascinating career journeys. So like, I still want to stay back in time, like your first jobs out of college, you know, tell me, Sharon, like what were you doing? What was at work?
My first job out of college was in the labs because I was actually a biochemist. I graduated with a biochem degree, so that's where I was.
And was this like at a pharma company? Like what kind of company was this?
No, it was actually at a fabulous company called General Foods, which now has been absorbed into a whole bunch of other ones. It was a great place to be, and it was a food company, so great brands like Shake and Bake and Manzoni and cereal and Jell-O.
And Kara?
My first job out of college was at Bloomberg. I did financial sales. So typical like business school undergrad, I should go into finance.
And did you get this job because you were at like a career fair at school? How did that work?
I don't even remember. I think, yeah, maybe it was something like that. I know they were recruiting from Goizueta, where I was at business school at Emory. And they were recruiting from there. And I was like, that sounds fine. You know, I didn't think like super strategically, except that was kind of what you did when you went to B school.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you love that first job?
Medium. I guess that's numerically a 5. But like, you know, I learned a lot. Bloomberg has a really cool, unique culture in terms of like inside the building, right? Like Mike had really unique style of management, and he was mayor at the time, actually, but he was still very present at the company, and so was his management style. Like, it was a very in-person, very, like, time-accountable, very transparent. Like, everyone sat at open desks. There were no offices, and that was all very purposeful. So, like, the interior of the organization I quite liked. But the culture in finance at the time as, like, a super young woman was, I would say, not ideal. Mm-hmm. This was, like, pre-Me Too. It was, like, a very different time. But it really showed me, you know what? Like, maybe I could have stuck out in finance. But there were some things about that industry that I definitely did not like.
And Sharon, scale 1 to 10, this first job in the lab, how would you rate it?
It was great. I would say it was a 10. The culture at General Foods was an amazing culture, very much about family, health, wellness. And, you know, the company as a whole had great training programs. And it led me to my first marketing job, so 10.
My first job out of school, I was the assistant account executive at BBDO working on Visa credit cards.
I interned at BBDO.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh.
What? I was on the Gillette account.
What year was that?
I don't even know. 2005?
Okay. We didn't cross paths. I was there before you, and I did not last long. But I realized pretty quickly that, like, the work was fine, but the hierarchy felt really uncomfortable to me. Yeah. Like, I didn't, you know, when you go to college, like, they're not really teaching you about this stuff, right? You're just sort of, like, inspired to try everything and be who you want to be and explore everything. And then you get to a hierarchical organization and, like, nobody cares what you have to say. That was really startling to me and uncomfortable. And the rules of hierarchy just, I don't know. My brain wasn't working on it. But I learned so much. Like, things that I learned at BBDO in that first job that I was only there for a year, I use today as the head of this company. Mm-hmm. So such a valuable experience. Yeah. These first jobs, like, I always tell people who, you know, want advice, like, just take a job. Like, just start somewhere. You're going to learn something. So now we're going to fast forward to what you're doing now, right? You're both at really interesting companies, very different businesses. Kara, we'll start with you. You're the president of Stripes Beauty. What does that mean? What are you doing every day?
Everything. So Stripes Beauty is a pro-aging beauty and wellness brand founded by Naomi Watts that specifically is geared towards women in perimenopause and menopause. So it's the only brand that really offers solutions, we say, from scalp to vag for, you know, women in this really specific life stage. And the products are incredible. Naomi is an incredible founder and, you know, creative partner. The management team and the private equity team are wonderful. But I think what's really amazing is I've been in the beauty industry a long time. You know, I spent over 10 years at L'Oreal and I've worked across every category. And I think there's two things. Number one, it's really difficult to find any sort of white space in beauty. And I believe that menopause, I mean, it's barely white space anymore because there's so many new entrants and it's like the hottest thing. And it's kind of funny because us women are like, this has been around since the beginning of time, but welcome to our journey and enjoy your stay trying to monetize it. But, like, you know, we're doing it quite authentically. So number one, it's the white space. And number two, there's like a really powerful mission. And that is so intrinsically motivating to me. I do best when I believe in something and there's like a deeper purpose and meaning. And women over 40, over 50, over 60, whatever it is, women have felt invisible after a certain age for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And the beauty industry, as much as I adore it, you know, we didn't do a great job at serving this woman for a very long time. And then when we did serve her, we were telling her, change everything about yourself. Mm-hmm. You're beautiful, but also let's erase your wrinkles. And, like, by the way, you can't erase wrinkles. Like, well, Botox can a little bit, but, like, you're not going to really ever stop time. And guess what happens if you stop time? It's over. Like, there's something really beautiful about aging. So the opportunity to have that mission of destigmatizing menopause, to join Naomi on something she's so incredibly passionate and powerful and authentic about, and to really make a difference in the lives of women and to break a conversation open, like, that's what this brand is doing. So I don't know if that was your exact question, but that's what I'm doing.
And Sharon?
So I work for Kosei, which is a company that's based in Japan. It's a huge company. It's like, you know, in U.S. dollars, it's big. It's in the billions. It has 37 different brands and portfolio, but my charge is to launch and nourish and nurture and grow three of those, which are Decorte, Sekisei, and Addiction Tokyo, which we just launched in September of 23. And I think it's really timely because I'm a huge... I love the beauty space. I always have, but especially skincare. I think there's so much power when people feel confident in themselves and feel like they're doing everything they can to be their best self. And I love the approach of the Japanese company, Kosei. It's really about respecting the skin, so we don't use really harsh ingredients that are going to really disrupt the skin microbiome from my biochem days. I really love how all the ingredients are holistically sourced so that it works the best in the skin together, because it's not just one holy grail ingredient. And then the technology that they bring, and then the experience is very unique because of the textures. So it's really fun. I love to build brands. I love to connect with consumers and find that place where it's going to resonate with them. And what I love about these brands is that it's ageless. It works for all ages. So I'm very excited about it.
So it's interesting. You're sitting next to each other. Mm-hmm. And you have this small brand that's, you know, I know you're backed by a very large private equity company, but really it's a small team, right?
Tiny,
like
yeah.
You probably have a lot of juggling that you do during your day. You're coming from a billion-dollar corporation, right, with many, many businesses across the world. I would imagine that even despite that, your days are probably pretty similar now. Like, you're probably both actually, like, really in the trenches as much as you are thinking, like, the big view. So I've found that that's actually the skill of going narrow and then wide and narrow and wide is a gift for some and really hard for others. How do you move through your day thinking both, like, huge strategically and then narrow down on, like, you know, do we have enough garbage bags in the office? Whatever it is. You know, we can start with you, Kara. Like, how do you keep shifting your brain in these ways?
Yeah. Luckily, my brain is really amorphous and I like will forget things as soon as I learn them as well. But like it serves me. Like I can wear a million different hats and I really do every day. You know, first of all, it's a really small and lean team. So I really need to be able not only to guide strategy, but to execute within the realms of product development, operations, innovation, finance, financing, you know, P&L management, marketing, social, digital, like there's not an area of the business that I'm not touching both strategically and executionally. Mm-hmm. You know, talent, HR, like you have to, I have a small team, but they're really, really strong. And, you know, I've actually been a founder before, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But like, I've learned the hard way that truly it's the people on the team. So during the day, you do all of it. It's a bit like being a working mom. Like not every day is perfect and you don't do everything every day, but every day you do as much as you absolutely can. And then you attack a different slice of it the next day. And not every day is perfect. And that's fine.
And Sharon, tell me about how you keep stretching your brain wide and then narrow again.
It's kind of similar. We're a very lean team as well across three different brands. So there's a lot to do. So it's just making sure, like you're saying, is kind of taking a step back and keeping front and center. What are we trying to do from an objective standpoint, from a cultural standpoint? You know, how are we playing with each other in the team and making sure that everybody's not only doing what their jobs are, but also growing. So nurturing that team and then actually just getting in and doing, you know, it's too small of a team not to be in there and but I actually kind of enjoy it because I feel like it kind of keeps you current. Mm-hmm. And then you also can relate better to everybody on the team too when you're actually getting into it. Mm-hmm. So
you both climb this metaphorical ladder, right, in your careers. What have you been looking for in these journeys, right, from large companies to small companies or startups? We can start with you, Kara. Like, what do you think you've been craving as you move along in your career?
Yeah, I think especially as women, like life has seasons. And I think you learn that so much as you grow up. I mean, yeah, you do. Life has seasons and there's a season for everything. So like, if you just kind of listen to what you need in that moment, you know, I needed the structure of like a Bloomberg, a L'Oreal, like those things really taught me. And I was in the point in my life where like, I could work like a dog. I could travel constantly. Mm-hmm. I could put in like, not that I don't work like a dog now, I do, but like, you know, this wouldn't have been like a tiny little startup with like private equity. I didn't know what I needed to know to do this job 10 years ago. So you glean what you can from each corporation, from each experience. It builds you. It makes you stronger. It sounds so like trite, but it's really true. And then you lean into the season of your personal life. Like that's been a big driver for me. And it's probably just because of this season I'm in as I'm a mother of young children. And that's okay, right? Like I think women really have to make different choices sometimes than other people, and like also that's okay. So I, you know, I don't know if I could have done L'Oreal right now. Like I find that I have a bit of balance. Like I have the work from home, I have the autonomy, I'm like running my own business, you know, with oversight and my team, but like I am accountable for my own business. Yeah, so lean into the seasons of life and say right now is my season to like work and be at a big corporation and learn, and then maybe that like chapter you feel it coming to an end, and maybe you have, you know, kids and you're like, okay, like something different will serve me now. And so I've kind of always paired like my personal trajectory with my career trajectory and tried to match the organizations to that like moment in time of what I needed on a personal level too.
That's this idea of seasons is so interesting and it's so personal, right? So yeah. Somebody might be listening who has young kids, and they their season might mean something else to them.
Totally. Yeah.
Right? And I was with a friend, a client I've known for many years, and she had her career at like huge, 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 giant global companies. And I've had my career here. And she's ready for that to end, you know? Right. And so she asked me, Jody, when are you going to slow down? Because in her mind, she's like, I'm done with all that. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm just getting started, right? Like, I actually spent a lot of time with the kids when they were little. Now they're 17 and 14. Like, this is my time now. Like, I'm right. Like, this is so exciting for me to actually put the time in and have the energy. Like, I have way more energy now. It's so personal. So looking at someone else's seasons and comparing might not be right for you. 100%. You have to like really tap into what you need right now.
Yeah. But like, listen to what you need and then use that to make decisions. And I think, like, I wish someone had told me when I was a younger woman, like, that's okay. Like, and actually, if you instruct your decisions by, like, what you need, like, and you're listening to, like, your needs in your life, they're going to be much more authentic decisions. And, like, I'm a big believer in, like, the universe and the force. And that's just going to serve you. It's going to be the right choice for you at that time.
So what have you been looking for? You've been climbing. What has been on your mind?
So I'm going to echo what Kara said. And, you know, I think one time I heard something when I was younger, and it said, make your pillars of what you want. So when I was in my 20s, I actually did my three pillars of, you know, personal health, personal well-being. So what was it that I wanted for myself personally? What did I want for myself financially? And what did I want for myself professionally? And I don't know, I read it in probably some magazine, probably Allure. And so I wrote those things down. And then what I discovered along the way is those things start to change, because as your life changes and you get experiences and other things happen, you start to put things in different perspective. So in the beginning it was, yes, I'm going to climb the corporate ladder and I want to be this and I want to go to the very top of a big company. And then over time, some things started to reveal themselves to me. And I said, you know what? I think, yeah, I can go down this route, but right now I really need to take a pause and take care of this. And so that's what I've done. So throughout my career, it's been a blend of, let me get the fundamentals that I need to get, which I was lucky enough to get at General Foods. So that was a great career starter. And I recommend, if you can get those fundamentals, that's always a good start. I couldn't do today some of the things that I did then. But when this particular opportunity came to me, it gave me something to learn that was different. So I'm always looking for something to learn. I'm always looking for something that I think I can make a positive impact on, growing a brand, positioning a brand, growing a team, that something that I can feel proud of, and then see if there's a little bit of legacy there, something that gets left behind in a positive way.
So a lot is on both of your shoulders in your own realms. Do you ever get scared or intimidated? Kara, we'll start with you.
No. You know what? I feel like when you've been through a lot, after a while, it, not that it all feels the same. Like, I feel the pressure, the responsibility to succeed, and success is incredibly important to me. It's just always has been. But when you've been through enough things, like, you just don't feel scared anymore. I don't know why. I've been through some very scary, both personal and professional situations, and they felt so intense at the time. And then I navigated through them one day at a time, both the personal and the professional. And I think once you've done that a few times, you know, barring like really like terrible things happening in life, but once you've done that a few times, you realize like actually you can do anything. You can break it down into bite-sized pieces, you know, the tools and resources to reach out to, the people, the network, whatever it is in that situation that's going to help you get through it. And like you learn to kind of trust in yourself that whatever the path through is, that you can find one. And then you get people around you being like, oh my God, you're so strong. And you're like, I'm not strong. I've been crying all day. But like, then it does start to become part of who you are. You're like, okay, I am strong and I can do it. So I feel a responsibility to succeed. I love to succeed and win. But I don't feel too scared right now. But I also think it's because we're a great business that's well positioned. So maybe if things go south, I'll change my answer.
I love crying. I like really love it. So sometimes I feel
call me, we'll cry together.
Like my body wants to cry, but I can't get it out. So I'll watch like one of those romantic comedies where like you know they're supposed to be together in the end, and when they finally finally do come together in the end, like I am bawling, like happy tears. But yeah. Like I love the release, and I have sat on some team members' couches in their homes and cried. And I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? You know, why am I running this company? This is so hard. And that was like, I used to do it, I'd say like once a quarter. And now I don't think I've done it in years. So maybe it speaks to like the evidence, yeah. Right? I have a lot of evidence that things will work out.
Do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Sharon, so tell me, like, is there intimidation, fear ever in your role?
Yeah. So I feel like I have this almost schizophrenic thing where I feel incredibly confident because I've had all these experiences, I've worked through all this stuff, but I definitely feel times like, I don't know if it's intimidation or if it's, okay, how am I going to do this? And what that signals to me is then exactly what you were saying is, well, if you're trying to look at it too large, you know you can get through it. You just have to figure out mm-hmm. how you're going to get through mm-hmm. it. So just taking those bite size, as you called it, maybe reaching out to a couple of people and say, hey, you know, I've got this. And that's one of the things I love about the industry. And having worked a while is you can also reach out to people and say, well, exactly how would you approach this? So it's not necessarily fear or intimidation, but it's kind of like, okay, let me make sure I'm just getting this. I'm thinking it through the right way. So and that might be my science background of, you know, do you have your objectives? Do you have all the givens? And then what's the methodology that you're going to do so you get this outcome? So I know I want, what is the outcome I want? I'm not sure if everything is what I think I need to get there. So then I'll just double check. And that's the anxiety.
And do you have like a short list of people? Like I reach out to this person for this person for that reason. Like you have a short list.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely have people I bounce ideas off of.
And Kara, do you have those people too?
I do. I am very fortunate to have great people in my life. You pick them up along the way,
mm-hmm.
and you know who they are, and yeah.
I've had an evolution in my people, and, you know, as the business grows, sometimes the people have to change, right? Mm-hmm. People who are kind of more where you are or where you're heading, mm-hmm. and sometimes these people, like, literally just come into my life through LinkedIn, like, hi, you know, and then it turns into a thing, which is – I've said it before today, like LinkedIn can be a magical place if you let it be.
You're very good at it.
So let's talk a little bit about these universal forces. Mm-hmm. I too believe in universal forces. I really believe, like, and my team knows me, I'll say it out loud, like let's say it out loud, because then we will be able to make it happen. So this might sound odd to people who are, you know, in the business of looking at the data. We do that too, but I really do trust my instincts mm-hmm. and my sense of like, we can wish it and will it to happen. So what are some examples of, you know, this kind of universal force power coming to life for you?
I think similar to what you said, like I am definitely data driven, and, you know, you have to be, especially, you know, managing a PL, looking at your demographic and, you know, doing the research, really understanding why she's purchasing or what her top concerns are so that you can align your product to those concerns versus like what you think. So I always check, but I really do lead with my gut. I have a strong like emotion and gut about most things in the business. And one of my team members is sitting here and she's extremely data driven. And, you know, she works on like the digital part of the business. So she's always bringing me the numbers. And most of the time it's aligned, but sometimes like I've just learned over time to trust my gut. And I think L'Oreal was big on that as well. There's like the science and the artistry. And that's like that I'm rubbing my fingers together for those who can't see the podcast. That's like that. That's where the magic is, I think, especially in beauty, like the métier of beauty. It's not just science. It's as well emotion. It's a very emotional category. And the menopause category in particular is emotional and powerful for women because we're aging and there's so much emotion associated with that. And there's so much change, and it's real change. It's physiological change, but it causes an emotional reaction. So as a marketer, you're marketing to both the science, right? Like you're attacking on like efficacy and symptom solution. And then you're also trying to capture emotion. So if you're making decisions in the same way and you're leading in the same way, you may just capture some of that magic that you need to like really build a brand and really take off. So yes, it's a combo. I've learned to trust my gut. I totally lean into the universe a lot. I'm a big believer.
The universe will deliver.
Yep. Everything is happening for my greater good.
So Sharon, I'm curious about how this idea of, you know, trusting your gut and universal forces can come to life when we're talking about, you know, like you said, a multi-billion dollar Japanese company, right? Different culture that it's set in. Like, are you able to go with instinct in an organization like this?
So it's interesting, you know, it's definitely a learning curve because we actually operate very much like an entrepreneurial brand here because we're still relatively small. So we have to do kind of a yin-yang of we share the data. The Japanese teams really rely on a lot of data. And also it helps. Numbers are easy to understand across languages. They're a little easier. So yeah, there's definitely the gut that you know what's right because you've been in the business, you've been in the market, you've been a consumer here for so long. So you know that certain things are just the way they are. So then it's the biggest challenge for me is how am I able to communicate it and bring it to life for them so they understand this. And so, and that's kind of fun. It's a challenge, but it's fun.
So we're going to shift gears into our game because our game is going to take up more time. And I want to explain to you the premise here. We're going to go deep. Game is about advice you give to your younger self.
Okay. We're going to need a lot of time.
So, you know, in these scenarios, you could be fresh out of college. It could be during college. It could be even your younger self or that time when you're just sort of advancing your career. You get to decide. But I have a bunch of categories and we'll go from each of you. We'll start with Sharon on friendship. What would you tell your younger self about friendship?
Jeez, what would I tell them? I believe the same things that I did when I was younger. I love my friends, be true, be loyal, be open, be supportive, and look for people who are supportive there too. So I think the only thing that I would say to my younger self is if people can't be there for you, maybe consider a different level of friendship.
Mm. Kara?
I would probably tell myself that friendship will be the greatest blessing in your life. It has served me in every season, at every level. My friendships are very, very meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. The only thing I'd say maybe is like, I wouldn't change a thing, honestly. Even the like acquaintance friendships, like they still can serve me and are quite positive, like peripheral energies, like they're fine, you know. But maybe just when life really gets overwhelming and like shit really hits the fan, that it is okay to edit and have those times when like you come into yourself. Like I'm such a social person and lately I've had to just edit my life, and it's not because I don't love the people around me, but I've had to be like, it's okay to just like right now I'm in a shell. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's been hard for me because it's a new experience. It's not one I'm used to. I'm used to being the most social, like the, and you cannot be all, you cannot be everything at once. So when I talk about seasons, like you cannot be a mom and working and having a big job and be there for your family and have like a giant social circle. So like right now I'm testing like not having one and I kind of like it. So that's new.
I love this idea. You talked about like the acquaintances have a role. So I used to really long for the like Hollywood friendship, like that friend you've had since second grade and you know, you went to college together and then you like have babies together. And I used to thought that that's the way things are supposed to be. And I've come to realize that I'm the type of person who has like one or two very close friends. And then I also know a lot of people. And then knowing a lot of people, I don't need to minimize that.
Yeah.
Like walking around town, seeing a bunch of people that I know, having short conversations, that's of importance too. So I've started to come into like a new understanding of what friendship means. I don't, it doesn't have to be this like weighted scale that's like, you know, that I'm putting a lot of pressure on myself.
I read a book a long time ago. A girlfriend of mine gave it to me. It was called The Celestine Prophecy. And it was really interesting because it was just talking about how sometimes people come into your life for that moment.
Yeah. Mm.
And you don't have to have them in your life the entire time sometimes. I think when I was younger, I tried to hold on to all my friends with like the same level. And we moved around. So that got a lot of letter writing back in the day. So I think that's great that you can enjoy, but also sometimes it's moments in time for them and for you.
Right. Okay, next topic, you're telling your younger self, grades, right? Like your grades, you know, how well you perform. What would you tell your younger self, Sharon? We'll start with you.
I'm still excellent still. Go for best. Go for the best.
Kara?
Yeah, I'd say good job.
I was the type of student who was totally satisfied by not working hard and getting a B. I never fought for the A.
I was like, I got an A by like cramming the night before. Mm-hmm. And then the teacher would be like, great job. And I was like, you have no idea.
Next topic, confidence. We'll start with you, Kara. What would you say to your younger self about confidence?
I've always been fairly confident, like healthy, but not like crazy. I think maybe, probably as a woman, I think what we beat ourselves up the most about is body image. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really matter. So I'd probably tell her that. But she wouldn't believe me.
Sharon?
Yeah, I had a lot of confidence growing up. I give my parents a lot of credit for that. I don't think it was an arrogance. I think it was a confidence. Definitely, there was always too this, is it enough kind of thing. So relax, relax.
I love this idea of relaxing. I worried about a lot of things for many years, like unnecessarily.
Yeah, I still worry. I worry a lot.
Okay, last one. This is a really good one. What would you tell your younger self to learn? Learn to what?
Gee, what would I tell myself? I think I was kind of a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. I wanted everything, you know, A's, do everything excellent, a lot on my plate. I just relax a little.
Maybe, like, just go to therapy. I feel like everyone should be in therapy from a really young age, but, like, proactively. Like, it's healthy. Yeah, maybe that. Or, like, more languages. Those are always fun.
I was going to say, I wish I learned some languages.
Yeah, I have one or two. Well, definitely one, at least the one I'm using right now. But, yeah, a few would be fun.
Do you speak other languages, Sharon?
Yeah, I speak Spanish and have some rudimentary, some other stuff, but not Japanese yet. But, yeah, I think what I would tell myself is stop and enjoy some of the, you know, the moments. I think we've heard some of that in some of the other podcasts too, is when you're successful. You know, I know myself, I had more tendency to beat myself up more about the stuff that I didn't think I was accomplishing versus celebrating the stuff that I was accomplishing. It was kind of like, okay, great, did that. Well, I was planning to do that anyway, so let me just keep moving. As opposed to, I used to have some people say to me, you make it look so easy. And it's like, well, it wasn't actually as easy as it looked. But okay, thanks for commenting. So, you know, I don't know, somehow just enjoy. And when I see other people getting stressed out about some stuff, I'm kind of like, don't get so stressed. Don't get so stressed. It's a journey.
Well, that concludes our game. Thank you for going deep with me. And we just have time for about two fan questions. So, okay, I'm going to give Kara this one. Practical advice. So actual things that people can take notes on. What advice do you have for managing stress?
Number one, physical activity. It's the number one thing to prioritize. I think it's usually the first thing out the door when you're busy or stressed. Mm-hmm. But I find it incredibly important to be active every single day. I will prioritize. Literally, I went to the gym yesterday for 25 minutes. It was all I had, and it was at like 9:30 in the morning, and I had a meeting before and a meeting after, and I prioritized it. So number one would be physical activity. It will serve you. It will manage your stress. Invest in it. There's nothing better for stress, for anything really. I think probably just do the work. I think sometimes people stress a lot about things they haven't started, but if you actually like start, so I think just start. Just do it. Just start. And if you can't start, write it down. We forget to write things down, I think, a lot now. We're over-reliant on our phones. I know I'm certainly guilty of that. But, like, buy yourself some fresh notebooks and write it down. There's a reason journaling is so powerful. There's a reason to-do lists are so powerful. Even if you don't get through all of them, write it down. It's actually, like, triggers a mechanism in your brain. And it starts the sequence of starting. So physical activity, just start. And if you can't start, start writing it down.
I love that. Okay, question for you. Practical advice. What is your best advice for managing your time?
Prioritize. And, you know, just kind of what is it really going to mean for me? Is this really important or not? And think about the consequences. If you don't do it in the timing, what's going to happen? So prioritize and think about what's the real end game.
So how do you do that? Do you, like, is it making a list? Is it making a deck? Like, how do you get that?
So I make a ton of to-do lists, and then it always changes because something hits you in the day that you didn't expect. And it's like, okay, now you got to juggle things around. but then identifying, okay, if I don't do this now or I don't, then there is going to be a ramification. Mm-hmm. Or can it go to lower in the list? Can it go to the next day? Can it go to the next week? Do I really even have to do it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good point. How do you get to the process to understand, like, does this even need to be done?
Is I think it through and say, really, what am I doing this for? You know, am I making my life more complicated? Am I thrashing more than I need to? So, you know, try to organize things. So what I try to do the night before is, okay, what's my list again? Now that everything is settled, what do I really need to do? This has to do, some things get bumped up, some things get bumped down, and then some things just get bumped off.
I love that. Well, this is an amazing way to conclude our theme, which is called Power Moves. I certainly feel empowered today. Thank you both for joining me. Thank you for everybody in the audience for listening. This concludes our giant day of podcast recording.
Thank you, Jody. Thank you for your amazing job.
And you.
Thank you. This is super fun.
Yeah, all the energy that you've had throughout all of these, it's just been like nonstop, consistent, amazing. Thank you, Jody, and thank you to your team.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody.
Great job.
Thanks for listening to Where Brains Meet Beauty with Jody Katz. Tune in again for more authentic conversations with beauty leaders.